This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
All right, Eddie, what's that?
All day, let's go. All day, all day, all day.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Into the end zone. That's two for Travion Henderson.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Travion Henderson, a hat trick.
Today's guests, 7-time Pro Bowl linebacker Terrell Suggs, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, actor Tracy Lentz, and now, Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show on a Friday. One game already into week number 11 of the National Football League season. We'll hit that in a moment. T. Sizzle is making his way to our studio, a guy who's got some Hall of Fame credentials, to say the least. Terrell Suggs is going to be joining us in about 19 minutes' time. And then Tom Pelissero will join us in the middle of hour number two before another in-studio guest, the actor Tracy Letts, who is in a phenomenal new movie out on Netflix called A House of Dynamite. He is dynamite in everything that he does. You've seen him in The Big Short, Ford versus Ferrari, just to name a couple. He's in The Lowdown as well, and he's going to join us in studio in hour number three. He was also in the Festivus episode of Seinfeld. So we got a lot to talk about with him on a show that Tom Pelissero will join us in the middle of. It's a What's More Likely Friday as well. And to be honest with you, we're going to be fighting through adversity on this program. It's raining in Southern California. So when that happens, it's like 10 inches of snow and, you know. Just light a candle. I guess TJ Jefferson's already done that because he's here with it. Chris Brockman, how are you?
Rich, you already know I am. Man, we're 9-2. We're the best team in football.
What's going on, Jason Feller? How are you, sir? Good to see you.
Here.
Good to see you, TJ Jefferson. As I mentioned, the candle is already lit. Good to see you, sir.
How you guys doing?
I'm doing fine. We're all good in this neighborhood. 844-204 Rich is the number to dial. In a way that Chris Brockman just said so respectfully and completely with full knowledge that he sounds like an idiot. But it's also the type of thing that you can say
true. You can call it stupid you want, but true.
The New England Patriots are 9-2.
I mean, that's
and what they have done is truly remarkable. What they have done now, as we are sitting here one game into week 11, we are sitting here waiting for the rest of week 11 to play out. And what the New England Patriots have already done is assure themselves of a winning season. And there's no chance this team that has won 8 games in a row is going to lose 7 in a row and just barely sneak in as an above 500 team.
You never know.
This team is really, really, really good. And I might be leaving out a really, because they are quarterbacked by a wunderkind who is being coached up by a coach of the year candidate and a former NFL head coach who may be one of the best offensive coordinators of the century, and Josh McDaniels. And then the front office did such a great job of drafting the last couple of years, from Drake May's first draft, the third overall pick of 2 years ago, and then this year, winding up with a left tackle out of LSU, Will Campbell, to anchor that line, and then let's get him a bunch of fast receivers that we can coach up as well. And let's get him the weapons that he needs. Let's get him, Drake May, situated. And let's get the situation prior to the game in the facility, in the meeting rooms, calmed down with some guys who have done it before, been there and done that. They tried it with Gerard Mayo as a former player, first-time head coach. Now they've done it with a former player, previous coach of the year in the league. And then let's get him somebody like Stephon Diggs. And let's get him a veteran with a chip on his shoulder and a lot to prove. Let's get that guy. And let's bring them all together and let's see how it works. And then it started off with a 1-2 record. And they have not lost since that week 3 L. Since that week 3 L at home against Pittsburgh, which they should have won.
Yeah. Yep.
But there were too many fumbles by a guy who, after all of the fumbles, like Ramondre Stevenson in that game, he wasn't the only one. But what ended up happening is, let's keep using him. And let's make sure he is an important part of this team. Then he gets hurt, and then Trevion Henderson from Ohio State, the Ohio State, all he does is start scoring touchdowns. And defensively, they're stopping everyone else while Trevion has two on the ground and one in the air. Listen, I don't care that the Jets are a two-win team. You throw the records out, the Jets scored first, as a matter of fact. Got me a text from my boy Coop, who is the diehard Patriot fan of the household, saying, "Dad, they can't play defense in these uniforms."
Can't play defense on the opening drive. That's the sixth touchdown they've given up on the opening
drive.
Wait
a second. Coop sweating after one half of a series?
Of course. But he also hasn't seen a team like this ever. Honestly, I mean, the 2019 team was 10-1. But he was also a 9-year-old, an 8-year-old. Okay. He was focused on it, but even that team, when they were winning with Brady, it seemed to have flaws that we all know a well-coached team could expose. And the team that ended their season in a one-and-done ended the Brady era in New England, winning in Foxborough, was coached by Mike Vrabel. The Tennessee Titans ended it. This one doesn't seem to have too many flaws other than the fact that they haven't done it yet. Other than the fact that they have a kid overperforming based on what's expected of a second-year player. And seeing somebody like Caleb Williams, where it's just like, wow, he's pulling it out in the fourth quarter, but he's missing this, he's missing that. It just seems to be up and it's down. And that's a first overall quarterback drafted two spots before this kid. But that's how you, what you do is what Ben Johnson's attempting to do. Calm the waters before the game, in the meeting rooms, get some weapons around, which is what Ryan Poles is trying to do there in Chicago. And Stephon Diggs, man. 11 targets, 9 catches, 105 yards. No touchdowns, but it doesn't matter when Trevion Henderson's scoring them all. Drake May had this to say after the game about Stephon Diggs.
Now, that trust was built up, you know, probably when I was in middle school when he was playing in the league. It was long ago. You know, guys like him and Hunter and Mac, you trust those guys for what they've done in this league. And I just try to give them chances. And, you know, Steph, and, you know, you break a couple tackles, get in the end zone. But, you know, those guys are great for us tonight.
If I played that soundbite for you last year at this time, Chris, you'd think Hunter would be Travis, right? Instead of Henry, the tight end. But it's all working out. Again, that Will Campbell's protecting, and the run game is stout, and this kid just sits back there feeling confident. Mac Hollins being another guy that they hired. Stephon Diggs, put it up. Look at these numbers. It's his 15th career 100-yard receiving game in prime time in terms of NFL history. That's tied with Moss, Devontae, and Travis Kelce.
Wow.
Only two behind Jerry Rice. That's what you do for your kid, is you get a guy under the lights who's there for you.
Well, I imagine he'll get a few more chances next year when the Patriots play half their games in primetime.
Well, Chris, you know, it's just awesome that your role just will not get slowed despite the fact that humility might be called in the equation. At least we'll have your coach do that for you. There is another game under the lights coming up shortly. I imagine that Monday night game might not, I don't know if they'll flex out of it, which they can do, but I think time's running short on that. There's the G-Men on a Monday night. And who knows what they might flex into otherwise. I don't know what's coming up. And then there's a bye at Cincinnati's next. Interesting with a coach moving on to Cincinnati, and it's a totally different story. It's because Drake May has MVP credentials. Go ahead and hit it.
Drake, how's it feel to get those MVP chants and just have people recognize the way you're playing right now?
Yeah, it was maybe in for Trevion tonight. I mean, he scored 3 touchdowns. So, I think it's, you know, our fans have Been great with me since I got here, since I got drafted, and I think just appreciate them for embracing me, just trying to embrace this city, and give these fans and this team, and just myself, just leave it all out there and give me everything I got.
I love his humility. It's just like, maybe it's Trevion Anderson. No, it's you, young man. It is you. It seems like every week after the Patriots win, we have this sort of stuff to show you another metric as to why he's the MVP of the league and why he's going to win it. Check it out. In terms of most consecutive games in a season with a passer rating of 80 or better in a win, he's now tied Lamar's MVP, first MVP season of 2019, with 8 of those in a row. He's 2 behind Dan Marino's MVP season of 1984. To get a win with a passer rating of 80 or better. He's awesome. And the fans there in New England. I mean, Coop's got his Pat the Patriot style Drake May jersey. The 10 jerseys are everywhere right now, and it's not Mac Jones. There was even a guy during the Prime Video post-game show who was a security guard, pulled open his slicker, and there was his 10 underneath it as well. Yeah. I could see it behind them. They're just out of their skull. I don't know if you caught this on any of your socials. Drake May's wife apparently has a TikTok account where she's cooking and talking about recipes. And the responses are comments. All fans like, Drake will love this. Please make sure you rub his belly after he eats it to ensure proper digestion.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm so excited for Drake May to have these. Yeah.
It's just basically take care of Drake.
Please keep our sweet king well fed and rested is that one at the bottom. I love it. For the sick, he is the cure. For the blind, he is the light. Who is Drake May? For the hungry, he is bread.
I know you had a TikTok account, Brockman.
I mean, they are falling head over heels for this guy. And again, it's his humility taking his cue from the head coach who, as you know, when we had Mike Vrabel on about 3 weeks ago in the middle of this winning streak, he's like, you know what? We're not hanging any banners, that sort of stuff.
Oh, a banner's getting raised this year.
Okay. Go ahead and hit it. Mike.
What did you make of his performance tonight and his performance in general en route to
your record? Well, I would say his performance in general has been, what we expect. And, we have high expectations for Drake. He has high expectations for himself. He'll continue to improve. I know that he'll stay humble. And like I told him, I'm excited, but we're 9-2. I'm excited that I don't have to see him till Monday.
That's it.
I just wonder how much more you guys are going to keep dismissing this. Like, I tried to tell you over a month ago that May would be in the MVP picture.
Excuse me.
And now he's the favorite. Every week, I need to see more.
I'm not dismissing anything.
They go on the road in Buffalo and win. They go in Tampa and win. All these teams that you guys think are making the Super Bowl, and now I suggest in a joking manner that they could raise a banner this year, and you guys are just like, come on. What more do you need to see?
I'm not... You're what I'm dismissing is your dismissiveness and lack of humility. That's what I'm dismissing, but that's you be you.
What do you want me to do? I'm
you
a fan.
Be you.
And
you
we've
be
been,
you.
We've been absolute
be,
dog crap for years.
You be you.
And all these other teams that everyone thought were going to win Super Bowls had a chance, and they didn't win it. And now their window is closed because guess what? The Pats got another dude. Everyone just can't handle it.
No. What they can't handle is you jamming it in everybody's face. That's what they can't handle.
And what would you do if it was your team?
Nothing.
The exact same thing. You'd be jamming it in everyone's face.
Your teams have
been losers for so long, and you don't know what it's like.
I haven't said anything yet.
And by the way.
You were laughing too, man.
And by the way.
I'm laughing at you.
Exactly. But that's okay.
Laugh all you want.
That's fine. Listen. Dismiss the fact that I've spent the first 10 minutes of this show talking about how this is a humble kid who is an MVP candidate. I have a vote for it. And at this point in time, he'd be my vote.
You can't say that out loud. Okay.
I can say that. I can talk about, I can handicap this. I'm not going to say who I'm voting for until it's over when it's time to vote. But right now, how can you deny that this kid is not the most valuable player? This team is not 9-2. This kid is not doing anything that is normal. This is actually what it looks like. Is exactly like once again, except he didn't get the job in his second year because of the injury to the $100 million contracted quarterback. He didn't get the job and having to have a coach believe in him to say, we're still sticking with you. and then watching them win after game after game after game that nobody expected until they made the Super Bowl. And then he goes on a game-winning drive when nobody expected them to even attempt that. And Tom Brady then had his hands on his head looking at his family like, I can't believe what's happening to my life. This has that same feel to it because they're opportunistic every single time. They are well-coached to 100% get the football from you. They're situationally brilliant, and they've got people all over the place that you don't even know play football until they catch passes or score touchdowns. But don't listen to me saying that. Just start barking about how you're going to hang banners.
No,
like nothing
like
can go wrong.
It seems like it's all,
nothing
it's
can
all
go
back,
wrong.
It just seems like it's all backhanded. That's
it's
all.
Not. How is it backhanded? I put them as a top team in the AFC in the power rankings.
Yeah, but it seems like you're doing it begrudgingly.
No,
like
you, well, that's a you thing. Like, that's
I can't believe I have to put them this high.
Well, the only reason why I'm saying that is nobody saw it coming. The fact an 8-game win streak, it's remarkable. Why can't you just be happy? Why do you have to be the guy of saying, we're hanging banners, there's no way, this is not going to happen. There's no such things as injuries. There's no such things as anything that can possibly happen. It's not like you haven't seen any of that stuff.
I haven't said any of that, actually.
No, what I'm just saying is just, there's no argument. They are the best team in the AFC. I have no problem saying it. There's nothing backhanded about it. All I have done is spend the first now 15 minutes of this program talking about how terrific they are. And I'm not even saying, well, the Jets stink so badly. They should be doing that. I like the coach saying when it's like, what is your assessment of Drake May's play? His answer is we expect it. We expect it. And the rest of the world can sit around and say, this has been unexpected. And he can sit there and say, this has not only been expected, this performance is expected. And from here on out, we expect it. In the meantime, I'm just happy I don't have to see him till Monday. Great answer.
Why would
but
he be
no,
happy
no,
about
but
that?
No, listen, if that's the way you want to come to work, and we talk about this every single week, I will just say to you to your face in front of the entire simulcast world, I have zero problems with any of this. This is a great story. This is a likable kid. This is a franchise that everybody thought was finished because Tom Brady was gone, and they have retooled in a way that is, in fact, the envy of the rest of the league. That's trying to retool, including the team that they destroyed and on occasion embarrassed last night in front of the owner, who's got to be sitting there going, we just hired our own former player here. When is this going to turn for us? When are we going to find a quarterback? Does that compute? Honestly, there's no reason to even have an argument about it. It's just a terrific team that a lot of fans are over the moon about, you one of them, rightfully included.
If I could, though. If we were in that position, right? Chris, knowing Chris the way I know Chris, would say this. The Dolphins, the Panthers, the Saints, the Titans, the Browns, the Jets. They combined, I think, have 13, 14 wins. So it would be like, who have they beat?
Exactly.
That's what you would say at this position.
And that's fair.
And here's my response, though.
You got to win the game, right?
Ask the Carolina Panthers, who were trying to turn things around with their first overall drafted quarterback. How did it work out against the Saints at home last week? They lost. How did it look for the Giants after they started Jackson Dart and he beat the Los Angeles Chargers and they go into New Orleans? How did it look for him? It's because you always go up and you go down. It's not always this flat out, straight up in the air trajectory. It doesn't happen. You don't see it too often. You don't see it ever. But you're seeing it now out of New England.
How many
and
games
it
you
doesn't
win last year,
matter.
Hmm? How many games you guys win last year?
8 in the last 2 years.
Yeah, they now have 9 they now have 9 this year and 8 in the last 8 games.
I'll be honest. I don't want to see it. Okay, because I don't want to have to go through another Patriots run.
But Drake May is so likable, and he's so humble, and he's so good. He's so good. You just give him a couple of minutes of your time to just watch how, if he gets a couple of seconds, he's going to dissect you.
I chucked this up to the Curry.
You're right. You do have that dude. You've got a dude. You've got one of the dudes in the league, and it's now, you know, going to be, if they take on Kansas City, Drake May versus, well, you're going to have Drake May versus Josh Allen twice a year. And again, the Dolphins thought they had that dude. Mm-hmm. They're waiting to see if Tua could still be that dude because he's being paid like one. And the Jets, we'll talk about that on this program. It's a brutal 2-8 start for them. For them. Is T Sizzle here? Ah, fantastic. Let's get to our guest. Oh, yeah. Terrell Suggs is here, the Baltimore Ravens legend. T Sizzle, when we come back. As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. Rich Eisen here for Sonos, the speakers that bring every game to life in my own house. With studio quality sound, Sonos makes you feel like you're right there in the stadium. Whether you're cheering on your team, binging your favorite show, or listening to the hottest songs, Sonos fills every room with incredible sound. Setup is easy. Just plug in, open the Sonos app, and you're ready to go. Want stadium quality sound at home just like me? Because I love Sonos. You will too. Explore soundbars, speakers, and more at Sonos.com. Sonos, they look as good as they sound.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
17-year veteran. Yeah. Terrell Suggs is here on the program. Do you know how many career sacks you had?
Yeah, they just told me, 139.
139.
139, yeah. That's pretty good number. It's a pretty good number. I mean, it's not, you know, Bruce Smith's 200 or Reggie White's 198, Julius Peppers 150. You know what I'm saying?
139
is pretty good.
Pretty damn good, pretty good. If I may add the damn for you.
It's pretty good.
Does one sack stand out amongst the 139 of them?
Yeah.
Sucks. Which one?
Yeah, definitely. I would say opening day 2011 against the Pittsburgh Steelers, against our division rivals. They had just knocked us out of the playoffs the year before. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're itching, you know what I'm saying? And, over the day, Haloti was like, we called a stunt and Haloti made me do something different. He was like, come under me this time. He was like, I'm not going to go under. And so it was really Haloti like designed it. I come up under him, sack, knock the ball out. It's kind of like, I would say my signature sack on Ben Roethlisberger. It's my favorite one. Ball comes out and the crowd goes crazy. And it was a beautiful day.
Was Ben your favorite quarterback to sack?
Absolutely. Especially in Hinesville. You know, besides my own stadium, playing in Pittsburgh was my favorite place to play because I was the villain. I got to be the bad guy, man. And there's not a greater feeling in the world to go, you know, be the number one hated guy on your rivals, you know, field. So
I'm just trying to recall. You weren't really a superhero, well loved in Foxborough Stadium.
No,
either.
I'm not really liked up there.
What about
either.
Brady? Sacking Brady. I mean, he's the goat.
It's always good to get up, you know, against, you know, arguably the greatest quarterback, you know, and the pretty boy, you know, the guy dates all the supermodels. It's always good to kind of, you know, beat up on that guy. You know what I mean? Because he has everything. He's got the money. He's got the girl. Got the rings. Yeah, I mean, it's good to knock him around a little bit, but I'm pretty sure he got the numbers on me as far as I like battles. I think I've only beat Brady maybe twice.
Well, we just had a very lively chat in the first segment of our program because it sure looks like the Patriots are back.
It looks like they're back.
And it just doesn't look like, oh, well, you know what? It's a nice little winning streak you got there. No, Eight wins in a row in this league is serious.
That's serious. So who do you credit? Do you credit the quarterback or you credit Vrabel? Who do you think?
Well, I mean, we're not going to go down this Brady Belichick road again, are we? Here? Because I mean, how about both, man?
You know how this works.
Listen, you know how it works in our media where it's got to be one or the other. There's no such thing as an in-between.
Right.
It's not as if, you know, Brady might not have existed had Belichick not said, we're sticking with you.
Okay.
And then Brady made the most of his opportunity and then maybe brought Belichick along at certain points in time.
Yeah.
I mean, right? Because now, how does it, the fact that May is doing this right now with Vrabel, how about both of them? How about that?
That's a good argument. Am I allowed to say that in this media world? I would say, you know, remember, like, it's got to be the players that got to go out there and do it. You know what I'm saying? So, I guess you could argue because, you know, coach kind of brings the atmosphere, you know, the tradition and the tenacity, you know, especially, you know, his reputation there, playing there. So, yeah, you can give it to both of them.
Terrell Suggs here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about the Ravens right now.
Yeah.
Because 1-5, even at 1-5. It looked like this team still wasn't out of it.
Yeah.
Even though they were 2.5 games behind the Steelers. And now here we are.
One game separates the two. Yeah. Yeah, and it was scary at first. You know, at first, I'm pretty sure a lot of people had for sale signs in front of their house. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's not a 1-5 in that city. Nobody is secure. You know what I'm saying?
Even John Harbaugh?
And unfortunately, when they look at 1-5, they're going to look at everybody. We got to see where the slippage is happening, you know what I'm saying? So, but we once we saw the rest of the schedule, the way we figured out after the 1-5 start, you need 7 of 9. You need 7 of your last 9 games, and it's not impossible. It's doable, but we'll see. You know, and we also got to play the team. You know, the team to the west of us twice. We still got to play them twice.
You can't say the word Steelers.
Did you just go like Ohio State on Michigan on you right now? I love playing those guys. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So I can say the word Steelers, but you know, every time you talk about the rivalry, it's just the old sizzle comes back. You know what I mean? Just the old feeling. But yeah, we still got to play the Steelers twice. We still got to deal with T. Higgins and Jamar Chase twice, and one of our own guys, and he's playing pretty well now. So. It's not, like I said, it's not impossible. You know what I'm saying? It's doable, but it's going to be tough.
Well, some old school stuff to talk about with you right now.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Well, you were there when Lamar showed. That was your last year in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Was it obvious at the time?
No.
It was not.
Like, he was the most athletic guy there. You know what I'm saying? But he hasn't, you know, it was his first year. He hasn't had, like, all the quarterback and, you know what I'm saying, kind of the NFL quarterback bravado right off the bat. You know what I'm saying? But that jump he made, like, I couldn't have called that. Like, he went from, you know, not starting right off the bat, and then the next year being the league MVP, running the most games ever in team history. You know what I'm saying? He won 14 games. I was like, no, I did not see that. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, like, he was always faster and more athletic than everybody else on
the team. Made the move to him in your final year there. What was that like?
It was nervous because, you know, a lot of us we knew it was like our last year. And then I'm like, we're going to go to a rookie quarterback? And it's like, we'll see. And
it wasn't just to a rookie quarterback. It was away from the guy that won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it was away from our Super Bowl guy. Yeah, yeah. So it was like real, like, at first we was as a defense thinking like, all right, we can't let a team score more than 17 points. But no, he went in, and once he got it, he ain't never gave it back. Once he took the helm.
But at that point in time, you realized he has it. Did you see it?
Like, you could see where he was going. Like I said, and the time he did it, like that short window, I didn't see him making the jump you knew he eventually was going to be like, all right, he eventually going to come into his own, be the new version of Vic. You know what I'm saying? But he didn't surpass that. You know, 81. He's supposed to have three MVPs. He's supposed to have been an MVP last year, but, you know, politics, you know what I mean, semantics. We're not going to get into that. But he was supposed to be MVP last year, so he would have had three. You know what I'm saying? So he two-time MVP, like, I didn't think he was going to do that, like, right as fast as he did it. You know what I mean?
But, you know, it's interesting. He's most likely not going to win the MVP this year because of his injuries and the 1-5 start and things like that. But if this still winds up a deep Ravens run of a season, could be his most impressive.
It could be.
At the end of the day.
Especially because of how they started.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because it wasn't, it was looked like it was coming off the rails. You know what I'm saying? So, but for the simple fact that if they go on the run and then make it to the playoffs and have a deep run, that will probably be in just another impressive thing on his resume.
Well, and it's still kind of crazy, too, here, Terrell Suggs here, how you can't make it up. Week two, Flacco was in the building. In a Browns uniform.
In a Browns uniform.
And if Joe Burrow's toe does not respond as fast as the Bengals hope, then Joe Flacco will be back in the building in a Bengals uniform on Thanksgiving night.
That's going to be like the first time ever in NFL history.
Well, certainly if it's involving an Super Bowl MVP quarterback of the franchise that he's playing against for twice in the same season for two different teams from the same state. I can just only imagine. I don't have the research in front of me.
Yeah,
we don't have the. I'm not Googling it, but it does seem to be that sort of situation.
Man, Tarantino couldn't write a better story. So we're going to see, man. We're going to hopefully it's going to play itself out.
And how about Flacco's the OG? Now he's like a 40-year-old
guy. 40-some
guy. Just talking about, I don't know if you heard this, just the way he just talks in a real matter of fact, but sage like way. It's kind of wild to see him in this role where he said basically he's never had a situation where you're in a film room with your teammates and you're like, well, this is what we're going to do when both our receivers are doubled, which is what his situation is right now.
I mean he's definitely playing with two receivers. One of them is probably arguably the best receiver in the league, you know what I'm saying, and Jamar Chase. But like, to have those two weapons, and he's just out there having fun, man, just throwing that ball around. He's been having some games. He's been having some games. Joe Cool, man. So,
who's the best pass rusher in the league today?
Miles Garrett. I would have to say Miles Garrett is, and then T.J. Watt after him. Miles Garrett, T.J. Watt. Michael Parsons is up there, too. But I would say Miles Garrett. I say like a couple of weeks ago, I think Miles Garrett is probably the best player in the league right now. You know what I'm saying? Just for how he can dominate in the trenches, like, and move and play wherever he wants on the ball, off the ball. And Miles Garrett, I think he is.
Who's now I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Okay.
Who's the best player you played with?
That's easy. Ray Lewis. I would say Ray Lewis.
Didn't you play with Mahomes?
I played with Mahomes, but Ray Lewis. I mean, because the way Ray dominated and to not have the ball in his hand, you know, this is a quarterback driven game, quarterback driven league. And for Ray Lewis to be Ray Lewis and dominate the way he did, and for the position he did, for how long he did, I'd definitely say Ray. You know what I mean? But, you know, I played with a lot of greats, man. I played with Jonathan Ogden, Ed Reed, you know what I mean? So
Jonathan Ogden, I think, is the biggest human being we've ever seen.
Man.
No doubt.
He's huge.
We saw him at, I think, at Ed's
induction. Hall of Fame party.
He strolled in there, and there was a total eclipse of the moon.
I think Leonard Davis is pretty big, too.
Yeah.
Leonard Davis is huge. Like big Leonard Davis is huge. Yeah, they all pretty big.
What's your favorite Ray story?
Night before the Super Bowl, the pre-Super Bowl speech. You know what I'm saying?
What did he say? What did he say?
It was his last game. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, he was real emotional. You know, Ray get real emotional, talks with his hands and all that. And he was like, yo, I got to get butt naked with my teammates. And we was like, whoa. It just kind of like.
All right. Follow-up question. Where was this? Where was
New
this
Orleans.
Speech? I know. Where in New Orleans? Was it team hotel?
The team hotel. Team meeting. The last meeting before we go play.
And you know what I'm saying? And Harbaugh says Ray has something to say.
He was like, hey, we got here on our leader. He's going to lead us out. You know what I'm saying? So our leader, he walked up, gave the last team speech for us before we went out, and he was like, you know, he was saying a lot of stuff. He was talking for a long time, but we all just sitting there because we know it's the last time we're going to get this. You know what I mean? And he just caught us off guard. He was like, yo, I got to get butt naked with my teammates. And we like, whoa. Hey, man, we're going to go get this thing done for you. You know what I'm saying? But we ain't going to need to get butt naked. You know what I'm saying? We knew what he meant by it. It was like, yo, we got to do us. You know what I mean? We got to do the, you know, this bump and grind. But yeah, it was just bad word choice of words.
Well,
yeah.
I think you're yeah. You got the gist.
We got the gist.
That you're a brotherhood, and you're gonna
into it. You know, he was emotional. He was in the moment, and we all looked at each other like, "Yo, he's serious." You know what I'm saying? But we caught it. You know, we know what he meant. But yeah, that's my favorite story.
So
yeah.
Did nobody hit him with a pause?
After. Oh, okay. Yeah, when we got to that team meal, we was like, yo, the guys want to know what you meant by that, because it caught a lot of us off guard, and we just wanted to be sure. He was like, man, I don't even know. He was like, he was just emotional. He was in a moment. And yes. Like, we was there. We was with you. You know what I'm saying? We trying to get it, but we just want to be clear. You don't want us actually, like, to get butt naked. And he's like, nah. So it was good.
Good enough.
It was good, yeah.
Good to
cut the lights off on
good, good, to,
yeah.
good to get the full gist, but yeah. Not the full Monty.
Absolutely.
Understood. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
And so, Hall of Fame, sir, you're in this mix.
Yeah.
I know that it's like Fight Club. You don't talk about it. But I do have to bring it up, though. But hearing your name in the mix right
now.
Yeah,
you get in the mix. You want to get your knock, man. You want to get your knock. Hopefully I get mine. You know what I'm saying?
You will one day. I can't sit here and tell you what
we just can't. We just don't know when. I think that's the big anxiety cluster. You know, F about it. You know what I mean? You don't know when. You know what I'm saying? I just tell my kid, I was like, I don't know. I was somewhere else when I missed my knock when they came and knocked the first time. So maybe I get it this time.
Listen, I've been through this with folks who have resumes like yours before, okay? And it is nerve-wracking. There's just no two ways about it, because you want it so badly.
Mm-hmm.
And I just know it happens for the people who deserve it eventually.
Eventually.
It always does. I can sit here and tell you stories about people who got really angry because of how long it took.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't matter. Like I see Harry Carson and Lynn Swann walking around in their jackets at the time. They waited way longer than they needed to. But then it had, like, Stray wanted it in New York, didn't get it in New York when it was announced at the New York Super Bowl, got it the next year. Irv didn't get it the year when he could have gone in with Aikman, really wanted it. He's walking around with his jacket right now. None of it matters once you get it.
And
then on top of it, you said Dash.
Yeah.
He's 20 months old.
Yeah.
If you don't get it now, maybe it's worth it, because Dash will remember.
Wait for him to come up there and do it with me.
You know, well, just also be able to remember.
Oh, yeah,
that would be awesome.
That's
good,
what I mean? Too. Like, this is the sort of stuff that, you know,
he's not going to know nothing about Sizzle. You know what I'm saying? Like, he only knows Dad. You know what I mean? And it'd be, like you said, I guess that would be a good silver lining to kind of get in when he can enjoy it and appreciate it.
Or you get it now anyway. You know,
you
never know.
You get it now. You know what I'm saying?
But your resume speaks it.
I hope so. You know,
it does.
I think in the modern, like, the one guy I always use is like T.O. I think everybody would agree, like, T.O. was a first ballot. He should have been first ballot, you know, Hall of Fame. But
receivers,
I think everybody
are
else.
Different from pass rushers.
Really?
Though. Yeah. I don't know what it is with the voters. Like, first ballot Hall of Famers, it's like Rice, Moss. It's a real. Aww. real select group that I think Larry Fitzgerald is about to join.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys still waiting on the wide receiver list who are
even
deserving.
That point,
like,
too.
Like, who else?
Oh, I mean, Torrey Holt,
Heinz Ward. There's a lot of guys.
Anquan Boldin deserves it, man, and I don't need to tell you about him.
Yeah. I love Q, yeah.
I mean, that guy is...
Yeah,
on the list of maybe the best players you've ever played with, too.
Yeah, he definitely. I made a list. Like, who's your favorite, like, teammate? Who's your best teammate at this position you ever played with at any level? And I put Q as my receiver.
One of my favorite moments of Ray Lewis's induction ceremony was the shot of Michael Irvin with his jaw open.
Uh-huh.
And we confirmed this. His jaw wasn't just open because he loves Ray, and it's from the U, and he was locked into what Ray was doing. Ray had that Madonna type, you know, microphone.
Oh.
So he was able to walk around.
Wow.
And that look on Irvin's face was, I didn't know I had a chance to do that.
Why didn't I think of that?
You mean like, I could have got a portable mic and got to walk around
and be the guy owning the stage and the moment. Irv would have killed to do that.
Oh yeah, the
probably didn't know there was an option. But but Ray's the only one I think to this day who's had that.
Yeah, and I think the Hall of Fame tried to make Ray go first, like to be the first guy to go. You know what I mean? To like get it. He was like, no. I'm closing the show. He was like, how y'all gonna have somebody go after me? You know what I'm saying? So Ray was like, yeah, they try to make him go first. They try to play Ray, but Ray was like, no, I'm the general.
Yeah, that's right. I'm finishing up strong.
I'm finishing it up.
And we're going to get naked here in Canada.
We're going to get butt naked, baby.
What is that mean?
We got to get butt naked. You know what I'm saying?
He was in his zone.
He was in his zone.
Also, of the top 17 sack artists unofficially in the history of the NFL.
Yes, sir.
Who's that?
There's only one who's not in the hall yet.
This guy.
It's him, so your knock is coming.
I hope so, man.
And now, for the moment, just a round of applause of Terrell Suggs appearing on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you, T. Sizzle.
It's always good to come back, man. Please do. Anytime.
This cheer is yours whenever you want.
Let me know when everyone has me on.
Oh, and now I'm seeing you on NFL Network from earlier.
Right?
Oh, I had no idea we're being car washed.
I'm in the gauntlet.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
I am doing my round.
Don't worry. I guess he's heading to Jennifer Hudson next. I don't know where he's going. There's the moment for you right there.
That ain't good. When I get my knock, Jay Hug going to have me on. I'm not sure if she's a big football fan or anything.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Presented by the Progressive Keys to Progress program, gifting cars to veterans in need. You know, this has been Veterans Day week here. All week long here on this soil and this show. Hey, on the opposite side of a 9-2 Patriots team is a 2-8 Jets team now. On the opposite side of a Patriots franchise that went ahead and hit at their quarterback third overall is a team that is still reeling from missing from their most recent second overall choice of a quarterback in Zach Wilson. Then Aaron Rodgers, now Justin Fields. That's what happens. Trust me, the Patriots will not be looking to see if there is a 40-year-old quarterback that can take an otherwise playoff-ready team to the playoffs a couple years from now because they hit on Drake May. They also won't be kicking the tires on a $20 million a year quarterback once upon a time drafted in the top 12 of his draft. In Justin Fields, because Drake May hit. And Justin Fields now, many games into his Jets career, he hasn't played all 10 games, is quarterbacking a team that is without Garrett Wilson now on injured reserve, and was out and he was basically their only weapon on offense out, at the receiver position anyway. He now falls to 2-7 with the Jets, 16-37 in his National Football League career. That is the third worst win-loss record by any quarterback to make at least 50 starts since the merger behind Archie Manning and David Carr. And, win-loss, as we know, is kind of a Fugazi record anyway for quarterbacks, but here's this one. And it's not just on him. It's on the fact that unlike what the Patriots have done with Drake May, the weapons for the Jets around Justin Fields, not as good. With all due respect to Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall, the Patriots have more than just one receiver and a multiply talented running back. The Jets now have averaging 139.9 passing yards per game this year. That's the lowest the league has seen since the 2022 Bears had 130.5. passing yards per game. There's one similarity, as we all know. It's the quarterback. It's a quarterback-driven league. It's unfair to just lay it at the feet of one person. Yes, the Jets went ahead and traded away Sauce Gardner and Quinnen Williams, but defensively wasn't a reason why, in many ways, they lost the game last night. They lost the game because they make too many mistakes, and their quarterback is a much better runner than their thrower. And that's the way that they run their offense. And why not? Because he's a much better runner than a thrower. And you could say the reason why he can't throw it is because the receivers aren't any good. A.D. Mitchell had a step on Christian Gonzalez last night, and Fields threw a terrific pass that he dropped. And then there was another route where A.D. Mitchell was wide open and Fields missed him. That's what happens when you're a 2-8 team. The good plays aren't taken advantage of over and over and over again. And that's how you wind up 2-8, wondering who the quarterback of the future is. Unlike the team that is now 9-2 that beat you last night.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.